pass, get off quick forever. Niggas talk shit, reminiscing about the last time the task force flipped. Niggas be running through the block shooting. Time to start the revolution, catch a body halfway
through. Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, if you don't take multiple showers right now, you don't respect yourself. Just be honest, man.
That time of year?
Yo, it's
we
that
just
time.
Getting into it like that?
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Fat man towels.
The whole gang outside.
Cold showers. Listen, water bottles. You know what I'm saying? Like, we need all of that. Sun just be beaming on you. Be tired. You need to take a nap. I'm going to catch y'all in a little bit. I'm about to go lay down real quick. Type shit.
Summertime naps be life, though.
Bro. Yeah, we have to nap age.
That little quick hour and a half.
Mm.
Yeah, that little quick hour and a half when you back up like around six. It's life.
That's a fact.
Rejuvenates your whole system.
I miss all the naps I didn't get as a kid. I played myself.
Mm-hmm. Wish you was out there getting them rest naps in, man.
Yeah, man, I played myself. I thought I was missing something. I ain't missed nothing.
Congratulations to your Knicks, Eric. That's your first playoff win in how many years?
Oh, we played today? We played today? I know. Word. Wow. I wish somebody would have told. Nah, thank you. I appreciate that, man. It's been long overdue. And it wasn't pretty, but we had to figure out a way, man. So we found a way.
Ice Trey was talking shit.
Ice Trey did game.
I mean, well, he need to be talking shit to his hairstylist because his perm is fucked up.
Ooh. He said if a nigga hating, call him Joe Button.
Fucked up ass haircut.
Yo, come on, because he's going to Kwame Brown you in 10 years. Don't do that.
We ain't worried about that. I'm not worried about that.
So, Reek,
I'm not worried about Kwame. None of that.
So, Reek, you going to come on, or you going to do it like that? Just let us know. We let you. I know you try.
Oh, yeah, I was waiting for you to come on video. Nah,
I ain't know. Like it's whatever.
I'm in the car.
All right, cool. Say yeah, less.
It's probably easier this way anyway.
All right, that works.
Yeah.
That works.
Y'all can hear me though, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Your boys won too. Your 76 is one.
Yeah, absolutely.
My 25 too. Definitely covered the spread.
Really put in big work.
I mean, draft should be a warm up for him, right? Like, according to the statistics, we'll see.
Yeah.
They might sweep him though. I think they're gonna fuck.
Oh, we recording? Oh yeah. So this is shooting the motherfucking shit. Economics. Econ, like we in high school again. Fellas, what's going on in the world?
Chilling, man. How are you?
All is well. We got brother Tyreek here with us again. We're going to talk about some good life insurance today. Because we are getting around that age where you have to start thinking about these things. You know, a lot of crazy things are happening outside. You know, a lot of entertainers, family members. You know, it's a pandemic. People are losing their lives, and sometimes people don't really have certain things set up for their family members, their kids, so on and so forth. So, you know, we just figured maybe let's talk about life insurance. Let's talk about the importance of it. I know you mentioned it before in the past, but before we get into it, let's ask Tripp.
Mm-hmm.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling good, man. Fresh off this Miami trip. I was out there with some really dope chefs from all different parts of the country and whatnot. Miami was definitely a good look. Shout out to Melba's. She was out there cooking, chefing it up. Well, she OG status, so technically, she got her head chef. Shout out to Chef Caesar. He usually, runs the kitchen and everything when it's like those kind of things.
Okay, you got out here getting these dollars.
Yeah. She OG status, so she out.
Word. Legend in multiple games. We were talking earlier, but we're gonna figure out a way to cut some of that stuff out. But we're gonna talk about your boys just one. I know you excited over there. Now we can get into this talking about this money.
Yeah, let's get to this money for sure. And we're not just talking about the money that we won gambling tonight. We're not just talking about that. We're talking about this real money. Shout out to Tariq for being on the show again, because it's always a great episode when he's on. And I got to give you your kudos as well, Tariq, because you have been early on in the episodes with us anyway, reminding people that be very cautious with cryptocurrency. Mm-hmm. And there were some people who felt like, it's the wave. And then we see that wave isn't doing what it was once doing. So we shout out to you for being ahead of the curve on that as well.
Hey, I'm here to inform, brother.
What's going on with you, man? We shouting at everybody's teams, man. Your 76 is one. Philly Bull.
Yeah, I'll take it, man. We do for a way. It's been a long time.
Your man Embiid up in air. They throwing popcorn at my man Brody. What's going on?
He's definitely
and it was a it was a lot of big money sitting courtside too.
I was.
Yeah. I saw Meek out there. Robert Kraft was out there. Michael Rubin.
Okay. Kraft gonna, he gonna be caught up in something. They trying to pull up all type of charges on your boy Trump. So, but we'll get into that on another episode. But yes, we are talking about life insurance. Rick, you mentioned it before. What's the importance of it, man?
So, I mean, a lot of times people don't think about it because it's not really something you'll benefit in your lifetime, right? Because it's not the sexy part of wealth building. When you're thinking about insurance, a lot of times, pretty much in general terms, what is insurance, right? Insurance is pretty much a payout for somebody's life, right? So if someone was to pass away, if you have insurance in that person's life, someone would get some type of payout depending on how much that insurance is that you have, right? And so a lot of times, unfortunately, people are very, I'll say it, selfish, right? Like, we're thinking about ourselves. We're thinking about building up our own money. So we don't always think about if something was to happen to us, our loved ones, and those people around us, how they would be impacted by that loss, right? So I think insurance is one of those things that I kind of preach to people that, hey, it might not feel sexy, but it's something that you definitely need and your family will appreciate if, say, the time comes that you will need it, that you do have it. So in general, that's just kind of my thoughts on insurance. But we can kind of get into whatever questions, thoughts you think the people out there want to hear. So
okay.
Tariq, I want to ask you, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with him. It's a young man out of Philly, Donnell Morris. He's the creator of Jumpin' Jack Tax. One of the things he always preaches is the quickest way to create generational wealth is through life insurance. Do you agree with that term?
It's a part of the way, right? I'm not gonna say it's the all in be all, right? Like, as far as life insurance is going to get you there, but I think having life insurance helps protect certain cases of loss, right? And so you need that on top of some other things, obviously, to help you build your wealth through life. But definitely, it is one of those tools you do need in your tool belt.
And wouldn't that be dependent on the type of policy that you have too? Because not every policy is going to be like $1 million payout.
No, absolutely. So obviously, the bigger the policy, meaning the bigger the payout, the more expensive it's going to be, right? So you have to pay what's called a premium. It's either monthly, quarterly, or annually. You'll pay that premium payment for your insurance. And your insurance can be $100,000. It could be $2 million, right? Mm-hmm. So it depends on what you feel. If you were to leave this earth, what needs to be covered? And so the way I tell people to kind of think about life insurance, just in bare minimums, right? You want to think about, if you were to leave Earth, do you have children that will be left that need your income? So if that loss of income happens, who's going to pay those bills for you, right? And so how much money would you need to replace that years of income, depending on how old that child is, right? So that's one thing to think about. Another aspect is debt, right? So large debt, talking about mortgages, right? So if you have a 15, 30-year mortgage on a house, and you know your income is responsible for paying that mortgage, say you're in it with your wife. If you die, what happens? Your wife is responsible for paying that, right? If you don't have insurance up to cover yourself to help replace that missing income, she's responsible for paying the full mortgage, which when you all signed up for the mortgage, obviously she wasn't expecting that. Her income doesn't double just because you passed away, unfortunately, right? So how do you help protect those people around you by covering those aspects with insurance?
Okay. It's all about being responsible. Like you said, thinking about others. A lot of times, I don't think we really think about that. We're in the now. We spoke about it before. A lot of times people don't trust banks and all these other places. So they say, I'm going to put this money in my mattress or whatever. Do insurance policies, I guess, does the amount fluctuate, or are you just locked into a certain amount?
So I'll get into the different types of insurance or life insurance that they have out there, right? So you have what's called whole life insurance, which is pretty much permanent insurance. So if you apply for whole life insurance, and whatever pre premium they tell you on that day when you apply for it, you pretty much pay that premium, say, every year for the rest of your life to keep that insurance. Whether it's a $1 million policy, a $10,000 policy, right? Whatever amount they feel that policy is worth for somebody your age and your health, that's what they're going to quote you for your premium. So obviously, the younger you are, the least expensive insurance is probably going to be for you, right? So that's why they always tell you, if you want to get insurance, you want to get it sooner than later. I always tell people, insurance never gets cheaper for you, regardless, because it always gets more expensive as you get older. And so that's one thing to always think about. And so if you have kids or are expecting kids in the future, right, that's something you want to start considering. Hey, how much do I need to have as far as coverage in case, for God forbid, I was to leave this earth? How much will my family kind of need for coverage so that they're not obviously in the poorhouse, right? Mm-hmm. As far as searching for that extra income that the house needed to float about.
Understood. How soon do you think you would actually need to explore those options to actually get life insurance? You think maybe if you're a single person, or you wait till you get married, or like, or what? Like, what do you think?
Once you start having those responsibilities that someone else would have to pick up for you if you were to leave here, right? So if you have kids, if you have a good amount of outstanding debt, not necessarily, I would say, student debt. Like, if you have student loans and you're by yourself, no kids, having a $2 million policy probably isn't necessary for you right now. But obviously, if you're considering marriage soon and you are thinking about having kids in the next couple of years and you want to get out when you have extra income to pay for the insurance premiums, I think that's something you would consider a larger insurance policy, because you know you're planning for the expectation of having a family in the future, right? And so it just depends on what you're planning on doing in the future, as well as what's your current situation, if you can even afford a premium for a $2 million policy versus a $100,000 policy, right? You're going to have to pay the difference depending on what you're planning on doing. So there's a lot of different things you got to factor in when you're thinking about it. But I think at bare minimum, you should think through, if you were to leave this earth, what would be missing, right? And what gap do I need to fill?
Okay.
And you start from there, and then you can build from there.
Damn, you got to be responsible. You don't have to die.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You got to take care of your loved ones.
Because unfortunately, if you don't, you leave that, right?
You're breaking up
you
a little bit.
Leave that for your loved ones.
Okay. Yeah.
No, there are a lot of
people
still got to
pay those bills.
There's a lot of people that don't have insurance, you know, too. If you had to sit down with the person that was either on the fence about getting insurance, or just like, I don't know, maybe they don't know, they don't want it, whatever, what's the conversation that you would have with them about why it's important for them to have life insurance?
I start with there, right? Like, what does their family dynamic look like and who's counting on them, right? That's where you start, because obviously that's where people tend to make their decisions, things that are close to their heart or close to their mind. And so your family, the people you see every day, people who are counting on you, right? What will be missing if you're no longer there, right? So a lot of times, if you're the breadwinner for the household, right, you definitely need some type of insurance, especially if you're a one-income family, right? So those are the type of situations you definitely want to consider some type of insurance to make sure if something was missing from an income standpoint, you have to apply for assistance, or you have to move out of your house, or whatever that might be, right? You want to make sure you can still maintain your lifestyle, or your family can still maintain their lifestyle if that income is no longer being generated. So that's really what you need to be thinking about as far as insurance. Now, if you like, hey, nobody's counting on me, I don't have any kids, it might not be necessary. I tell people, save your money, right? Mm-hmm. And then when you get to a point where you know that is definitely something you're about to take on in life, or you start to accumulate assets, right? When you start to have houses and things of that nature that are under your name, then you want to make sure you have proper coverage for all that stuff. Mm-hmm.
What about an individual's like personal health? Like you said, right? If as a man married with children, I want to make sure my family's taken care of. But before I start getting these premiums and figuring out what I need to be paying on it, don't I need to be like in great health as well? Because that's going to affect my premiums, right? That's going to affect what I'm paying for my policy.
Good question. Good question, bro.
Correct. So the way they price all insurance is based off of your health. right? So whenever you apply for any type of insurance, whole life, term life, and I didn't get into term life explaining it, but I'll talk about it in a second. But whenever you get any type of insurance, they pretty much, well, more so for whole life than the term, they do a health inspection, right? They look at your doctor, they do medical records, they look at medical records to make sure that in the past, you didn't have any serious pre-consisting conditions or anything like that, right? They want to make sure that you're not at high risk of passing away in the next couple of years, because for them, they're betting that you'll live to your life expectancy, because otherwise they would have to pay out premiums for everybody. Because unfortunately, what a scam would be in that insurance game, but if somebody knows they have some type of terminal illness, right, they'll go get insurance with a $2 million payout, knowing that they will pass away the next 3 years. If they didn't do all those type of screenings, right, that's an easy scam to generate wealth for your family. But obviously, insurance companies are a lot smarter than that, right? They didn't become billion-dollar companies by just giving away money. So they make sure they do full proper screenings before giving you even a quote of how much they feel the insurance itself would be worth for someone of your health standard. And so they do have different health standards that they will rate you at after they look at your blood, they look at your medical records, things of that nature. So obviously, being in better health would help your premiums, which would decrease, obviously, the payments you'll have to pay for that. So definitely, health is a major player in obviously wealth building and obviously paying lower premiums for insurance, right? Everybody wants to save a couple dollars if you can. And it's a slow thing like just taking care of your body and taking care of your health. Why would you want to do that?
You brought up something that was interesting, insurance scams and stuff like that. A lot of people have like life policies out on a lot of people, man. Like it's a thing, you know. Like everybody's kind of trying to find a way to come up, I guess, in a sense. I don't know if you can talk to it, but do you know of any like situations maybe where people have probably had those type of situations where they've had a bunch of like, you know, life policies out on people, and maybe somebody was like, "Nah, bro, this ain't it. We caught you."
Across people all the time that are like skeptic, like husbands and wives, like, "Look, I'm not letting my wife get insurance on my name, she's trying to kill me," right? Like I get that literally all the time.
That's whack, bro.
I haven't come across any, me personally, I haven't come across any situations where it was a true scam happening. Now, because I go through a lot of insurance trainings and things like that, I hear about stories and I hear about situations that obviously I have to do training on certain things to make sure that I prevent or ask the right questions when people are asking for insurance. Because that's part of the process. You got to do a full screening to make sure this person is asking for insurance for the right reasons and not just doing it for a scam purpose. Like I'm the first, being a life insurance writer, like I'm the first line of defense when it comes to scams, right? So they make sure that I'm fully trained to understand what scams are out there. But it's mostly just people do get plans on all types of people. It's really just a bet on their life, right? Like if you got a $5,000 plan on somebody's life, like $5,000 really isn't going to change your life any, and you really have to wait till they pass away to even get it. A lot of times that money is just the money you'll use for that person's burial, right? Like when you think about the cost of caskets and things of that nature, you're not really going to generate any real wealth for yourself doing that way. And most people who do that don't get policies big enough that will really move the needle. When you're talking about a $2 million policy, right, you're going to have to pay a couple thousand dollars for that a year. So you got to have some type of income or some type of bucket of money to be able to pay for that to even generate it.
That's something in itself right there, too.
That's
something in itself right there, too. Like, so those policies, I guess, that you pay less on, you're getting less money on the back end. That's basically what you're saying.
Yeah, 100%. So if you're getting a $5,000 policy on somebody, right, the premiums you pay for that isn't going to be anywhere close to a $2 million policy.
There are policies where you can take money out. Right.
So again, I'll go and explain the difference between whole life and term life. So whole life, again, I talked about that being pretty much life insurance for your entire life. If you get it, say at 25 or 30, and your premium, whatever they tell you, you pay that same premium for the rest of your life. Now for term policy, you're pretty much signing up for a term amount of years. So it can be a 5 year. Most of the time I see anywhere between 10 and say 30 year policies. So say if you have a kid, you just had a kid, you want to get a policy that covers why the kid's still a child until they're adult, right? You wouldn't get a whole life policy to cover for their entire lifetime. You probably get like a 25, 30 year policy, right? So they're off the payroll. And so a term policy pretty much is only in existence for the amount of years you sign up for, and after those years are over, the policy goes away. But you do pay the premiums for the amount of years that you sign up for it. So if you are signed up for, say, a 10-year policy, you'll be paying premiums for 10 years. So that's pretty much how term works. But whole life are actually the policies in which you can generate cash because you keep them forever. Now, term policies, because they are just temporary, they don't generate any type of cash whatsoever. And so you can never take a loan from a term policy, but for a whole life policy, you can. But also the trade-off of that is whole life policies cost more. Why? Because they last forever and you generate cash on them. The term, because they are temporary, they're going to be a little bit cheaper of a product for you. So that's really the difference between the two. Most people, in most cases, I would tell you, you don't need whole life insurance. You probably need to just cover a loss for some reason, whether it's for a child, you only need it for why the kid gets going to be dependent on you for money, obviously. And if you have some type of debt, how long do you plan on having that debt before you pay it off, right? That's what you need to think about as far as how much insurance or how long should the term insurance last for.
So you would recommend the term for single people?
I would definitely, when you're younger, single, you're looking at more term because it's going to be cheaper, A, and you probably don't need whole life at that point. Now, once you establish enough capital and money and you feel you need to cover your life forever because you have a whole family that's responsible for you and you can afford whole life insurance, and that's when you consider whole life insurance. But in most cases, in general, I would say maybe 70% of the time, you'll never need a whole life case. Most people just need some type of term insurance.
Now, for young men and young women that come from the backgrounds we come from and the environments we come from, is it ever too early to start exploring the options of life insurance?
Never. Because again, the younger you are, the cheaper it will be forever. So say if you're in your 20s and you're planning on having a family at some point in your lifetime, right? You would assume your kids at some point would be grown by the time you're, say, 50 or 60. If you get a 30-year policy in your 20s to last you to your 50s or your 60s, or say you get a 30-year policy, that's going to be a lot cheaper than if you were to wait till you're having kids in your 30s. And so if you're really thinking about it, you have the capital to be able to pay for those premiums, I say do it early, right? The sooner you do it, the cheaper it'll be for you forever. Because the longer you wait, the more expensive it'll be, because obviously we get sicker, right? The older we get, the more ailments we get, right? You always have issues that come up medically. So you have to think about that as well. That's a factor into the price. So all of that stuff is things you need to consider. But as you're young, the first thing you're thinking about is controlling your budget, right? Like just making sure you have a solid budget for yourself. And if you can afford premiums, then you would consider the life insurance for yourself, for whatever losses you might have out there.
Yeah, that's all great information there, man.
Yeah, because I think that, like, when I was younger, that would be like the debate I would have with myself. Be like, all right, do I have the bread to maintain this policy if I get it right now? Because you know you got to make them payments every month. So, like, in my, like, 20s, that was the debate I would have with myself.
That's the trade-off. That's why most people normally wait until they at least have enough money. They're making enough money that they can afford the premiums. Because at that point, you're probably starting your family. You probably accumulated maybe a house, maybe a mortgage that you definitely need to cover. So it becomes a little bit more urgent for them than somebody who's in their 20s that doesn't have a family. Right? Because when you're in the 20s, and you don't have a family, you don't have a mortgage, you're not really thinking about life insurance. What's the purpose of life insurance for you? But it is something you should probably think about, especially if you can afford it.
Okay. People out here scamming.
They trying to get life insurance policies on other people and stuff. So you said you want to pretty much make sure that wait till you're pretty much responsible, I guess. But I feel like a lot of times families try to really force you to get these life insurance policies, I guess to help pay for funerals, because a lot of times we have GoFundMes that pop up a lot of times. So I feel like that it's helpful for those as well. No,
well, if they have, Well, I don't. They probably might still do a GoFundMe, even if they did have life insurance. But at least if they had the because you know, people, like it's and it's unfortunate, but people. And
people
listen,
take advantage.
Yeah, people, you know, they do what they got to do. Because, you know, there might be other things, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not judging nobody's situation. It might be something else that you might need to raise money for at the time. Because maybe, like you said, that policy didn't pay enough. Yeah. Maybe it only cost the cover the funeral. But, you know, there's other stuff that is, you know, that's owned by that person that they're not going to be able to pay for anymore. So...
question for you. I have a question.
And people
for
forget
you.
About whatever debt they might have.
Yeah. So that's the next question. So you, a lot of times people would joke about maybe James Brown, Red Fox. A lot of times those people had a lot of debt, you know, when they passed away. Like, what happens to that debt when these people pass away?
Whoever their estate person, whoever is their executor on their estate has to pay that. And so say if you're, like, because I have clients who have gone through this recently, right? So if, say, your parent passed and you're the sole child, you're normally going to be the executor on their account, right? So any debt they have that's outstanding pretty much goes to probate, right? What probate is the court system looks at all the person's assets and all their liabilities. They pretty much try to make everybody whole as far as the debtors that they have through whatever assets this person might have that they can access. Then after that process, any money that's left over goes to what's called an estate account. And that estate account pretty much is supposed to stay in place for a number of years in case more debt pops up over the next couple of years.
That's why
that you weren't thinking about, right? Because a lot of times an individual might have debt that they weren't telling their families, unfortunately, right? We don't talk about all that stuff all the time. And that's why that process takes as long as it does, because of the fact that you never know what that person might have that's out there, right? You don't, until people really sit down and have these conversations with their family members, you never know. So that's why insurance is such an important thing, because you're even protecting yourself in case there's something out there that you don't know about. Because all that stuff will come to light once, if that person passes away, everything comes floating, because those debtors want their money. I don't care. They don't care if you pass away or not.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to pay them.
That's whack. So, like, transparency is, like, we talk a lot about black and brown communities a lot of times, and our families don't tell us anything about their lives. They have kids and other debts, like you said. Like, it gets real sticky. You know what I mean? Like, I can even imagine, even with some of these wealthy guys or whatever, like, they probably had these lavish lives and maybe some wife somewhere, or hell, even maybe somebody that was in the military, you know, like this is a common thing. Like, a lot of people have secrets and stuff that they don't really talk about that you find out about when they pass away.
So, and since we're talking about the morbid situation, the morbid topic, I always tell people another important document or thing people need to have in place is some type of will.
Okay.
Right. You want to make sure you have a will in place. Right. Because when I talk about that probate process, like, if you have certain assets that are drawn up in a will to be designated to go directly to somebody else, it goes to that person. Right. And you can avoid the whole probate process or having things tied up for a number of, say, months or even years, depending on how much stuff you have that need to be cleared up through your estate. And so having a will, having some type of power of attorney, and having healthcare proxy. So if something was to happen to you, you become incapacitated, right? Who's making the decision for you? Mm-hmm. Who can say, I can pull the plug or you can't pull the plug? When you don't have those things in place, you hear about all the stories of fights in courts with the families, right? And when you hear about, hey, there was an argument, or so-and-so did this, so-and-so did, because they didn't have any documents drawn up. And unfortunately, especially in our community, we don't do the right things to have those things drawn up for ourselves. So definitely another tidbit outside of life insurance, you want to make sure you have some type of will, power of attorney, and some type of healthcare proxies for yourselves.
At what age should you start getting your will together?
As soon as you have assets. As soon as you have a dollar to your name.
Okay.
Right, because the more you have to your name, right, if you were to leave this earth, somebody wants to account for that. Who's taking care of your kids if you were to leave this earth, right? Like, you want to make sure those things are drawn up before you do leave this earth. You don't want the courts to decide those things for you.
Yeah, yeah. It was funny. So recently, I was listening. I think I was listening to, because I have Nipsey's audiobook, and the guy that was narrating it was talking about how he didn't have any. I don't think he had a will or anything like that. He didn't have something, but he had some trust and some shit like that set up for his kids. And I believe Reggie Bush had started a GoFundMe, but because he had so much invested in it or whatever, his family was able to say, like, nah, we good. But that's a rare situation. Everybody doesn't have stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. Trust is another tool people use. A lot of that's in the estate planning, right? When you're thinking about, hey, if I leave this earth, how do I want things set up for my money to be handled, right? Whether it's putting it in trust and... reason why people put things in trust, because trust is its own entity, meaning it has its own tax identification number.
Explain what a trust is, though.
So a trust is pretty much setting up a separate entity. So you as an individual have a social security number, right? Each company or organization has some type of EIN or employer identification number. So a trust, once it's drawn up, it's kind of its own entity that files its own taxes. And so that's pretty much what that is. And so with that, you can separate liability from the money that you have in the trust from yourself as an individual. So when people have a substantial amount of money, they start putting money in trust because, say, if they were to do something and get sued, the trust isn't held liable because it's a separate entity.
You can't sue
the trust.
I like that better.
So does a trust... How does that affected at all by the will? Like, say if I leave trust for my nephew, but it's not listed in my will that it's supposed to go to him. How does that work? But it's in his name.
Well, when you have a trust drawn up, it's actually its own legal document. And so you have in the trust details of what happens to that trust money, how it's supposed to be used, if you're putting money into it, who puts money into it, who controls it. All that stuff is drawn up when you have the trust created. So all that would be dictated. So you technically, if you have all the money in the trust doesn't go by the will, because the will is for your person, right? Yeah. And so the trust is its own entity. So it's a little separated. So it won't include anything that's in that trust. The trust has its own legal document for itself.
Okay. It sounds a little bit more safe to me, you know?
It's how the rich protect themselves.
Because it's separate from everything
else. Right.
That's money that you just gave to someone else if anything ever happens to you.
And then what you do is you name yourself or maybe another family member as the trustee, which is the person able to act on the behalf of the trust.
Okay.
And so when you see people are trustees, it's still their money. They can take it out as they please, because they could write the trust up to spend the money on whatever they want, right? Mm. And so they can say, hey, this trust, the money is used at my discretion. It's just going to be in the trust name. Or you can say, hey, this trust is only set up to use for educational or medical expenses. Like, I've seen anything across the board when it comes to drawing up trust and what it can be used for. So it's completely up to the person who sets that trust up.
Right. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but a trust is like a savvier way of handling the assets and the finances, whereas a will is more like in line for when you pass away and who's going to get the money, basically.
Correct. Because the will only goes in effect once you pass away. A trust, that goes in effect immediately once you have it drawn up, if you have it drawn up that way. And so, yep.
Okay. Very interesting, like you said, because I feel like those, maybe that's what happens a lot of times when people pass away and they say, hey, I know I have a son or a nephew or somebody that maybe is not the most responsible person. I'm going to wait till they're 35 and they've done X, Y, Z. They can get X amount of dollars. Is that what typically happens a lot of times?
Sometimes they put them in trust. They put clauses on the trust. Hey, this is for my daughter, but they can't access it until they turn 30 years old, right? You can draw up whatever you like. You can say they can't touch it until they're 40 years old, right? Like, whatever you want to happen to that money, you can draw up and legally put it on that trust. And those with wealth, obviously you want to protect the money if something was to happen to you. So you don't want the kids to come in and just blow all the money. And so people have trust drawn up for the reason like that.
So for our listeners that might not be keeping up with everything, Ghost on Power, he had a trust for his son, which was then making him go to college
for, right, for the other
to
Tyreek
obtain and access the money. So that was a trust that he had for Tyreek on Power.
So that was the purpose he drew that up for the education.
Okay.
And so regardless of what happened to him legally, that's why he had it drawn up, right? Because they can't touch that money. It's not him. This is a separate entity.
Yeah.
I like that. I like the clause better.
I might do something like that for my kids.
I like the clause better because you know what it is? It's crazy. You know, we don't have, well, Eric, you have kids, so you got kids for us. But you know what I mean? You know your kids, you know what I'm saying? You, and it sounds nuts, but you know who's probably more responsible than the others. You know, like we talk about it all the time, Eric. Your youngest, she's very athletic. You know, the oldest. We talk about it all the time. So you know who's who with your kids. You know, so these things are very important when you're trying to figure these things out, because you want to make sure people are good, regardless of the fact, you know. It makes sense to me, man.
No, it absolutely does.
It makes sense to me, man.
I definitely like the idea of a trust, though. I definitely like the idea of that. And like you said, also adding in them stipulations, making sure that things are done the way that you would want them done if you were still here.
Mm. Damn. So imagine if you fucked that up, because we cursed. So imagine if you fucked that up. And so what would potentially be like, so somebody else can go get that money? Like, that's trash. Like, you got to go to school. You got to graduate, bro. You got to figure that out.
Yeah, where does the money go?
That's
in
a
that
great
case?
Question. Yeah.
Or you'd have to have said, like, all right, if he doesn't graduate, then the money goes to whatever. That's like in the whatever documents you sign for the trust.
Mm-hmm.
That's in there saying that, all right, if he doesn't complete college with the degree and whatever, then this money goes to, say, the Breast Cancer Awareness Foundation.
Yeah, there's always something that it would go to afterwards. So you always have an alternate plan if the original option doesn't happen.
If you do a stipulation, because you don't have to. You could just say...
You don't have to, but if you're smart whatever. And you have a good lawyer, they're going to force you to do something, right? Because probability of the kid deciding, especially if you draw it up when they're a kid, like young, them not wanting to go to school, it's high probability. So why would you not have any other clause in that trust? As a lawyer, that's kind of what they would consult them to do when they're drawing up the legal documents for it.
Absolutely. Another question for you.
Tariq, on a
Go ahead.
I got to ask him here, because we talked about this on a previous episode. I want to ask you if you've ever encountered this, right? So Jackie Chan recently came out and said, I'm not leaving any money to my son.
I was going
to
ask that because Warren Buffett did the same thing. Glad you asked
right.
that.
Mm-hmm. Have you, in your personal experience, have you ever encountered that where you came across somebody who had a good chunk of change and they just said, I'm not leaving nothing to anybody in the family. I'm donating all this. One, I want to know what that conversation was like. And, and if you experienced it, how did the family react to knowing that they weren't in the will or the trust?
Now, I haven't personally come across a client or individual that was like, look, I don't want this individual not to get a dime. Now, I have clients that are like, look, I don't really care how much money my kids might get left over from this, right? Like, I want to enjoy my lifestyle while I'm here, versus I specifically don't want this individual to have any money left
That's
over.
That's crazy,
right?
Though.
Like, I think that would be a little bit more crucial. I had to come across that one.
I don't fuck with you after I die.
You do see surprises, right?
Because money.
you'd be surprised on how often these people don't have these conversations outside of the office sometimes. Mm. So sometimes it just piggybacks on the fact that we just don't speak amongst our family on these topics enough, that sometimes the questions I bring up in front of them is the first time they thought about it together. It's like, you should be having these conversations.
No, that's real. That's real. I think even when, and it's probably another future topic, when you talk about people getting married, because that's the thing in itself. Like, all of these things are investments. Sometimes, like, a lot of times, like, older folks joke and they say your fiance, but they're like your finance or whatever they call it. You know, these are real things that we're talking about. Like, there's love, but then there's money too. Things get real crazy when we're talking about money, no?
I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a sensitive subject, but you got to talk about it. I think it's necessary. I think they said, like, marriages, that's one of the biggest reasons people break up, right? Mm. Money issues.
Future episode of Shooting the Shit Economics. What you doing with that money when you get? Yeah, man, because it's a real thing, man. We were joking earlier, and we was like, a lot of times, you know, sometimes if you that guy and you don't got your stuff together, you know, everything can all fall down or whatever. So, you know, money is important, man. You got to make sure that you set yourself up for your future. You got to make sure you set your family up for after you pass away.
You just got to be, you got to think about all these things all together, man. Like, generational wealth is very important.
You know, generational wealth is important. We want to make sure that we set people up just to do a little bit of everything, man. We're going to go ahead and wrap this up. We're going to probably, we might have to bring that up for a future episode, man. Mm-hmm. Your finance, eh?
And wait, Tariq, for the next time you come on, I need to know this. How long does it take if your mama put the cable in your name as a kid to get that off your credit? For the next episode, I want you on that.
Somebody said that I'm gonna put the PPP loan in my mama's name because she put the cable in my name.
I need some get back.
But listen, man, this is shooting the shit. Brother, I ain't gonna call you Brother Tariq like we in church or whatever, but I think that's what you was playing. So you playing some gospel in the background. But Tariq, man, Tariq Evans, we're gonna call you our financial advisor. You know, you my brother. You they brother too, because you know them, bro. Too. We talking about money, man. These are conversations that we try to have on a frequent basis. I mean, we bullshit. We like to talk about a little bit of this, a little bit of that, or whatever. But we got to have these conversations, like you just said. We don't talk about these things enough in our families, and a lot of times we have these relatives that they pass away, and we don't know what to do. We're stuck trying to figure things out. And like you said, they have all these, you know, so much debt or whatever, so on and so forth. So you'll be back. I know you're on the road. You outside right now. Outside's open up a whole lot more. My man playing money, trying to let you know it's time to wrap up. But we appreciate you, man.
Always, bro. Anytime, man. We'll talk soon, definitely.
All right, be safe, bro. All
right, man. Yeah.